ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Love it. I'm so proud of myself. I'll really tell you that. I am so proud of myself.
You might have seen one of Alexa Leary's incredible poolside interviews. She's bubbly, fun, the life of the party, and at the Paris Paralympics, she won 2 gold medals and broke 2 world records. Before all that, though, Leary had a serious cycling accident at age 19. Her parents were told to say their goodbyes multiple times. Well, Leary's just released a book called Sink or Swim, which documents her second life. And she joins us today to bring us into her reality of living with a traumatic brain injury for the rest of her life. I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily. Alexa, firstly, congrats on the book release. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good. I'm really happy that the book is finally out. Like it's been a year or so now and I'm like, yes, it's out.
I always imagine the coolest bit is when you get it, you get to see it, it's in your hands, you can smell the pages.
Yeah.
What was it like when you got that first hard copy?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I had like a little tear in my eye because I was like, I'm so happy this is finally out. Like it just made me so happy and proud for how much it's taken and time like that. It's amazing.
And what about the hardest part? Because I kind of think that's the cool bit, but the hardest part is the actual writing.
Yeah.
What was the toughest bit?
So like to get it out all on the paper, like to get it all out, to say the truth, to just put out the truth of my accident and even before and after. It was just so much to say that. And also the biggest thing is like bringing in about a traumatic brain injury. There was just a lot of factors in there that it was hard for me to talk about, but I wanted to share it in the book. So it was really incredible putting it on there.
Did you have to make a commitment to write something down or to someone to be like, I'm going to be, you know, an open book. All the good bits and all the bad bits are going in.
Yeah. So like I didn't want to put some bits in it, but then I got to terms of going, you know, Lex, it's a good thing to do that because it's going to help a lot of other people. So that's how I felt upon doing it.
Was that the goal? Did you have something from the start that it was about helping other people?
Yeah, of course. And also bringing awareness of traumatic brain injuries because it's something that I suffer with for the rest of my life. And, you know, it's going to bring out so much awareness.
You wrote it with Ali Pascoe. The book features not only your voice, but lots of people close to you. So your parents, your brothers and sisters, doctors. For people who don't know, you had that cycling accident, age 19, resulted in your traumatic brain injury, which is, you know, a lot of what the book is about. Reading those early parts that you don't remember, you say you don't remember anything about it, anything before it, really tiny snippets, but now it's down on paper. What was it like to, I guess you would have heard bits and pieces and you were taken back to the scene, but what was it like to see it written down by these people who experienced it, you know, firsthand?
Yeah, no, it was a lot because, you know, after the accident happened, my parents had to like fully sit me down and talk to me and tell me because I wiped all my memory and everything from the day of the accident. Like the neuro doctor said, I won't have 4 to 5 years prior, like any memory. So it was really hard for me to process the accident. And yeah, that was just like a hard factor to actually even see the photos and things on paper. It's really hard. Even reading it in the book, it got me. Like I did cry because it was like hard to read. My brain, I was so bad in the accident, like in the hospital, I couldn't walk and talk. So I was gone. My brain was out. But in rehab, I had to come to terms with it. I'm living a second life, Lex. Like you've got to realize this. And that's why my parents had to sit me down and tell me exactly the story.
Reading it and knowing you from like an outsider's perspective, someone who's seen the videos of you as this like bubbly, fun person, this who's full of life, you know, the way you talk about music and living your life.
I just can't hold back. I've just got to let go. I've got to get the guns out and go for it. I can't stop myself.
And then reading the book, it was really eye-opening. Do you think that's what you want people's reaction to be, is to see the entire spectrum of what you live with?
Yeah, because like people just think, oh, she fell off a bike. Oh, that's it. It's like, oh, no, I'm living a full second life. Like I have severe traumatic brain injury, like damage in my brain. It's changed my whole life. And so that's like, it's difficult. It's really hard living with a TBI. I have to be honest with you right now. It's so hard.
The heightened emotions is one thing that you hear
yes.
about. Tell us day to day where that shows up.
Yeah. So my emotions go insane. I get sad, happy, angry, depressed in a day, in a second. It's like insane. And my emotions is just, oh my goodness. Like I can't even explain to you. That's why I have a behavior coach to help me guide me into the right direction of my behavior. But honestly, oh, when I wake up, I don't even know who I am sometimes from the memory. It's just, it's really hard. I have to be honest with you right now. It's so hard.
How are you doing today? Well, like, this is a stressful day, you know, telling people about your book and about these hard parts of your life.
Yeah, it's actually been a very busy day. And sometimes I don't remember, but it's okay. My brain's like 51st dates, but it's fine.
So when you say you wake up, does it take a second to work out what mood am I in? Like, what is my brain giving me in this moment?
Yeah. And like mostly every night before I go to bed, I do write out my notes of what I'm doing the next day. So I'm on board with what I'm doing. So I know that to try tame my emotions, to not make them so heightened. So that's a big thing that I have to do, which is, it's hard.
So after the accident, how long was it before you were again swimming? Because doctors said to your parents, they said a few times, be prepared to say goodbye. They said you mightn't walk or talk again. Yet it wasn't that long before you were swimming again and competitively.
Yeah. So like when I got out of the hospital, the neuro doctors literally said to my mum and dad, like, we want to get Lex's right side because I'm physically damaged from the brain. So I destroyed my left side, which made my right physically damaged. And so now I'm left-handed, weirdly to say. I was always right, but now I'm lefty.
Really?
Yeah, I'm left-handed now. My right is really hard. I'm always at physio and things like that, but it's hard. Anyway, so the neuro doctors were like, get in, swim, and we want to get her to try work the right side. And that's where it all started. And literally, it was just, I had passion and I was like, I want more than just, you know, rehab. I've had a massive accident. I've got to go out there and do something good for myself. So that was the biggest goal. And I don't know, look where it's got me. I'm like, yes, Lex, you did it. Hey. Yeah.
She is on fire. She is not holding anything back for Singapore.
Stand by for the world record line to be within touching distance. There it is. Can Alexa Leary hunt it down?
Your dad talked about in the book, like channeling that anger that you had. So that emotion into swimming. Was that how you saw it when you got in the pool? You were able to harness all this energy?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, because I was frustrated. Like, I'm living a whole second life. I was just always like, I want my old life. But if I think about it, I go, no, I don't. I love who I am now, where I'm learning to accept her and understand her. But yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. Life is just hard.
Yeah.
It can be. Like, honestly, it is difficult.
And making the Paralympics is extremely hard. It's beyond just living a hard life. So how does your TBI affect training, that those tough sessions in the pool, which you have to do if you want to be a gold medalist like you are?
Yeah, like honestly, it's tough because like especially with like my behavior, like every morning at training, and I'm training my little heart out and stuff like that, but it's really debatable on my emotions and behavior, to be honest with you. It's difficult. But like I get through it, and it's like, I don't know, I'm very determined and passionate person. When I want something, I'm going to fight for it. And that's what I've done since getting out of the hospital. Even in the hospital, I fought to walk and talk again, but I just have that mindset.
You fought all the way to the Paris Paralympics, world records, a couple of golds, a silver. That is crazy. Are you able to fully comprehend just how wild that journey is in the space of 3 or 4 years?
I know. It's incredible. And I'm so proud of myself for how far I've actually come. But it like took me a bit of time to process when I won, because like with my brain, it's like the process of things, it takes a long time. And I was literally like, when I won and tapped the water, everyone was like, I won. And I was like a shock. I was like, what? Like what? And then I got out and everyone's like, yeah, like you've won, Lex. And I just couldn't believe it.
Gold in world record time, surely 59.53 for Leary.
Have you heard from other people who live with a TBI who are inspired by what you do?
Yeah, I have actually. And it's incredible. And I love meeting them because I'm inspiring them as well to get, you know, the help they need. And that's the biggest thing I want. I want there to be a day. So the day of my accident, the 17th of July, I would love that to be Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Day. And I will fight for that because I feel like we all need to be recognized and known, because we all struggle with a TBI. And it's really hard. It is really, really hard.
So there's not a day currently for
no,
it?
No, there's not a day. There's Brain Injury Day.
Uh-huh.
But I want there to be a traumatic brain injury, because that's what, you're born with a brain injury. With traumatic brain injury, you have it in life. Like me, I was 19 and I got it. So that's what the difference is, yeah.
So sport was such a huge part of your life before the accident, mm-hmm. before this second life. You're a triathlete, you were cycling, you were training when the accident happened. Do you know, can you, or have you heard from people about how sport is now for you compared to what it used to be? Is there a difference?
Look, I can't ever ride a bike again, which is fair because like that was not a good day, the day of the accident on the bike. It's just not going back there. Yep. But sport has been the biggest part of my life since a little kid. I've just always been that little go-getter, like, you know, ADHD. I just go out and get it. I'm like, wow. I just loved it. It's just been the biggest thing in my life, sport.
The 23-year-old Queenslander who continues to prove anything is possible.
Congrats on this book. I do want to ask you before we finish about music. It's a big part of, you know, you love sport, but you love music. I know it gives you that joy. I saw that footage of you literally learning to walk again. Like your right foot, your right leg wasn't really moving, but you were singing a song. How is it that that was in your memory and in your brain, that power of music?
Yeah, it's incredible personally, but like at the back of my brain, so like your music side and your creativity sit in the back.
Okay.
So I destroyed my whole brain very, very badly, but some of it down the back, I didn't, where the music sit, it heightened. So music, even in the hospital, I couldn't walk or talk, but I knew every word to every song. And everyone was like, what? How is this possible? Like, it was incredible. I see videos and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So then, I don't know, music is the biggest part of my life, like personally. I love it more than anything.
When you think of your Paralympic gold, when you think of that crowning moment in Paris, is there a song that comes into your head?
Oh my goodness, I won't forget it. When I, Kylie Minogue, when I got my medal, I had to sing it. I'm sorry, there was about to be, the next event was about to happen, but I literally had to have a little stage and I had to get up and sing, la, la, la. I fully was enjoying it. I didn't even care about the medal. I was like, this is going off.
Forget the anthem, it was Kylie.
Yeah.
Have you met Kylie?
No, but I want to. I really do, and I have to dance. Like, she has to sing, I just want to dance in front of her.
Before I let you go, it is the next couple of years leading into LA. There's Brisbane on the cards. Is that something you like to think about? Is that something that's too big to dream of? Where do those bigger goals sit for you?
Oh, no, 100%. Like, LA, yeah, 2028, that's definitely on the go. Like, I'm 100% all for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited, but like my next song, I'm really, really excited for that too. And my book, just, you know, there's lots of fun things happening and I'm excited, but I'm locked down into training. I'm locked down.
All right. Well, Alexa Leary's new book, Sink or Swim, is out now. Alexa, you should be not only super proud of that, but all of your achievements. So thank you so much for putting yourself into that book. It's an amazing read and for joining us here today.
Thanks.
Headlines. Rumours are swirling today that LIV Golf, the Saudi-backed rebel golf league, may be in financial trouble and could potentially fold. The league, featuring Aussie golfers Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, Lucas Herbert and Elvis Smiley, is supported by the PIF, and the word is that they are close to pulling the funding. CEO Scott O'Neill sent an all-staff email in his attempt to pour cold water on it, saying in one part, "I want to be crystal clear, our season continues exactly as planned, uninterrupted and at full throttle." The next LIV Golf event is in Mexico City this weekend, and I guess if it goes bottoms up from there, Margs anyone? The Matildas have secured the FIFA Series trophy in Kenya overnight with a 2-0 victory over the home side in Nairobi. Sam Kerr put the Tillies ahead with her 75th international goal, with Claire Wheeler also on the score sheet.
It finds its way to Kerr regardless, and Kerr scores! A moment to forget for Lillian Onyango. Sam Kerr, international strike, number 75.
If you haven't seen it, put it this way, it won't make Kerr's top 74 best goals. Cricket and the deadline for the sale of the Big Bash League came and went last night with no outcome. Cricket Australia's proposal is that up to 49% of each state's franchise could be sold to private ownership. Cricket New South Wales, and therefore the Sixers and Thunder, have confirmed they are opposed to the proposal, and Cricket Queensland are still undecided. As per my uni assessment rules, I guess Queensland will lose 1% a day until they submit. And Alex de Minaur has been knocked out of the Barcelona Open in the round of 16, going down in straight sets to Hamad Medjedovic, who is ranked number 88 in the world. And finally, in the AFL, Port Adelaide will appeal the $1,500 fine imposed on Zach Butters for that umpiring incident. It'll be heard on Monday. I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 9, the Paralympic Games and Football Australia for the extra audio used in today's episode.